Our text this morning comes from Psalm 103. Just want to read it for us. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, forget not all his benefits. Then David begins to list them. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor anger, his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows that we are formed, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with his children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his domain. Praise the Lord, my soul. The Lord bless his reading of the word into our hearts. This is such a great psalm. It's another one where David is kind of like preaching to himself. In this context, David is speaking about the truth, about God's character to himself, nudging himself to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. David is remembering because he forgets. We tend to forget the goodness of God in our lives, especially when we are going through times of distress. Or we may just take him for granted because we're so familiar. It's the Lord. I know what things are going well. Yeah, I know God is good, and that's fine. See, this is the reason we need to constantly remember God's goodness to us, to consciously bring it to our minds, to ponder on the many blessings that we receive from our amazing Heavenly Father. That's what David is doing here. He remembers God's mercy and God's love to Israel, to himself. Remembrance brings peace. Remembrance brings encouragement for the present and hope for the future. Remembrance brings perspective to situations we find ourselves in. It gives us a big picture. Remembering leads to praise. When you think about the things that God has done for you, you want to praise him. You want to exalt him. You want to focus on him who is your soul's desire. So let's look at some of the blessings that David talks about here that lifts up his soul
and results in this praise and adoration of God. Now, as Christ followers, all the things that David is talking about here are things we know, but like I said, we often forget because we're too familiar with them. And we fail to grasp the truth that they reveal. The truth that I revealed here trumps or supersedes anything that we go through in life. And these are the same truths we really want to communicate to people who don't know, who do not yet know our Lord as well. So here's the first one that David talks about. God forgives our sins. Now, this is so fundamental to our Christian faith. Sin is what's wrong with us. We miss the mark. We have a bent towards evil. We are flawed. As Romans says it, we fall short of God's standard all the time. Sin disqualifies us from God's presence. But through the death of Jesus on the cross, we have been forgiven. Our guilt is gone. We are made new. And so David goes on to expand on this concept of forgiveness. He gives us insight into what God thinks about the fact that we are forgiven. In verse 9, he says, "You don't look at us only to find faults, just so that you could hold a grudge against us." That is not what God does. That is what we do to one another, holding a grudge and calling each other out. It says, you may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we deserve. Nor do you get even with us for what we've done. You do not always accuse. Father, from a sunrise to a sunset, that's how far you've removed our guilt from us. This is what it means that God forgives. God is not running away from us because of our sin. No, he has come to meet us, to help us. God is not having a bad day because of our sin. He has made a way for us to overcome sin through the sacrifice of his son. He wants us to draw near unto him. Here's something I heard from a Bible devotional that I listened to a while ago. It's by a podcaster called Tara Lee Cobble. She talked about the distinction between religion and what it means to be children of God. And in that place, she says, religion is, I messed up. My dad is going to kill me. I better run away because he's a taskmaster. But as children of God, the implication of that is, I messed up. I need to call my dad. When I was younger, in my teenage years, I did something. We had 3 cars in the house, and nice cars. And one of them, I remember that day, my dad washed it. He was going to travel. But before he traveled, he went to his office he's a medical doctor, to see some patients. He went with another car. So I decided, I'm learning to ride a car. Let me just take the car for a ride. So I took the car and I drove. It was a Friday, I remember. I drove into town, into a busy street. Now, it's a Friday, and that's important because the Muslims, they go to the mosque on Fridays. And so when they come out around 1 p.m., they come out in droves. And they on the street just going back to their normal life. And so the street was busy. There was traffic. I panicked, and that's how I think I hit another car. And I didn't know what to do. And so strangely enough, one guy saw what was happening. He came, he said, can I help you? For whatever reason, I allowed him to drive the car. So I moved, he drove the car, just helped me to park and maneuver away from all the other people. Now, in Nigeria, when you just have a scratch on the car, you don't call the cops, not like we make it a big deal here. No, that's a small thing. You have other things to worry about. So eventually, yeah, he helped me to just maneuver the car. I parked, and I got myself, and I decided, you know what? I need to drive back. So I drove the car. I drove straight to my dad's office, and he was so surprised to see me. What are you doing here? So yeah, sorry, I took the car and I think there's a dent somewhere. It's like, what did you do? Why did you take the car? I'm sorry, Daddy. My point is, he didn't kill me. I'm still here. You know why? I knew the heart of my father. Yes, I disappointed him, but he's not gonna kill me. It's like the story of the prodigal son. He took all his belongings, said, Father, I don't need you. Give me all the things that my own portion of the inheritance. He went away, squandered it all. But then the Bible said he came back to his senses one day after eating with pigs. And he said, you know what? Even the servants in my father's house, they get to eat. What am I doing here? And he decided, he rehearsed what he was going to say. Father, I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be your son. He decided he was going back home. At least he knew his father's heart. He might not take me back as a son, but I can still eat. I'll be one of his servants. Unbeknownst to him, his father was already waiting. As he was approaching, his heart rate was going fast. What am I going to say? As he was about to say it, his father said, don't worry. My son has come home. We need to make a feast. That's the posture of our Father towards us. I messed up. I need to call my dad because he's waiting for me. One is running away from God, the other is running towards God. The more we know the forgiveness of our Father, the more we're able to overcome sin and continue to live in the way that God wants us to live in. It's his kindness that draws us to repentance. Romans 2 verse 4. You see, when you understand this like David, you want to praise the Lord. The next one, David says, another benefit we get from God is that he heals us. He heals us inside and out, inside and out. God heals. He heals us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We've all experienced the healing mercy of God in various ways at various times, some more than others. We don't always see healing happen the way we want, but God still heals. And whenever he does, it's a foretaste of the kingdom that is coming when there will be no more sorrow, where these mortal bodies will be exchanged for completely new ones. If you've experienced the healing mercy of God, bless him for it. David also talks about redemption. He says he redeems us. He delivers us. David fought a lot of battle in his lifetime. He could have died in any one of them, but God rescued him. God preserved his life until the time it was appointed for him to die. Friends, God has delivered us from all kinds of pit in our lives. You know your own experiences of God's deliverance, how you escaped that accident, how you survived that illness, how you were rescued from financial crisis, ultimately how you were rescued from eternal condemnation, separate from God because of what Jesus has done. You see, that is what God does for us that calls us to bless the name of the Lord. The next one, David says, our God is full of compassion. God is full of compassion for us more than we think or imagine. God is not quick to get angry with us. He is filled with unfailing love. You see, that's another attribute of our gracious God that we might know intellectually, but in reality, for many people, it doesn't play out that way because we're used to God's anger. God is angry. But Scripture tells us that God is actually slow to anger. You read in the Old Testament about all the prophets that God sent. God sent them ahead to warn his people. Guys, listen. If you're not listening, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. God gave them lots of time to repent, to change, because he is slow to anger. And that's who he is. Yes, God can display his anger when we do bad things, but his default is compassion and mercy that stretches longer and farther than we can imagine. God is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. For this, the psalmist says, bless, praise the Lord. David also talks about the fact that God is our Father. God feels towards us like a loving father or parent feels towards his children. And this right here is one of the revelations that have really changed my own life, that God is a father like no other. The closest way to understand the fatherhood of God is to kind of just liken it to the love of an earthly father or a person that fulfills that role for you in case you don't have a loving father. Picture that sense of love. That's only a sample of what it means that God is a father who wants the best for his kids. A father who models love and the rich compassion of God's mercy to us. I think the best way to think about God's, about the fatherhood of God is to combine the best of a loving father and mother and what they have to offer to kids. It's that sense of protection, of love, of security, discipline, good example, nurture, compassion, and sacrifice. That is who God is to us. Sometimes the broken relationship that we have with our own earthly parents clouds that for us to see who God really is. But friends, God is not like our earthly parent who hurt us, who broke us. He is different. Sometimes it takes healing to be able to see that. And when you see that, then you know who this God is. How amazing he is. And then you can bless his holy name. David also says, God is sympathetic to our human frailties. He knows that we are fragile. He says, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Another translation says it this way: you know all about us, inside and out. You are mindful that we are from dust. All our days are so few, and our momentary beauty so swiftly fades away. It's like today we are here, and tomorrow we are gone. And life just goes on. God knows that about us. And he cares about us. David goes on to say, your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you've made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond. You are faithful to all those who follow your ways and keep your word. It's like David comes to this understanding where he says, I'm aware, O God, that my days here on earth are few. And God, I know that you're aware of that about me as well. My body constantly reminds me about that. But even when I'm gone, God, I know that your faithful love remains. It extends to my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. In other words, he's saying, God doesn't change. His faithfulness extends beyond us. And that's an amazing thought when you think about it, that God's promises outlive us. And so we can trust that God will be good, not just to our families, but to the ones we leave behind when we are gone. That God will be faithful towards them. That the same promises that he has given to us will apply to them as well, because his promises never fail as they continue to follow his ways. So on the one hand, we are frail. We are like the wildflower. Today we are here, but tomorrow we are gone. Another wildflower will come. Another one will come and go away. God is the one sustaining it all. And he sustains us all. So David recalls all these blessings, and he can't help himself but to say, God, I bless you. He's so into these blessings that at the end, he includes all creation and tells them, angels, every creature, all his works, bless his holy name. He recognizes, as we all should, that praising God, telling about his works, is what we're created to do. Let's not forget all the blessings we receive from our Heavenly Father. Recall them all the time, in good times, in bad times, in boring times, in mundane times, because they lift the soul. They give us perspective. They give us a big picture about God's kingdom that transcends any situation that we go through in life. This remembering God's blessings bring encouragement for the present and hope for the future. They give us a proper understanding of God's amazing character and his love for us. So friends, bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul, bless his holy name. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for who you are. Lord, we confess this morning that sometimes our vision is short. Sometimes we can even have tunnel vision where everything just seems so bad and distressing. And we fail to remember who you are. That even in our smallness, you are big. That even at this world cannot contain you. Sometimes we limit you. Lord, forgive us. But I pray that, Lord, this morning you give us a vision of who you are. How big, how majestic you are. But yet, that, Lord, you come to us as we are. You crown us with honor. Thank you that you forgive our sins. Thank you that you heal us. Thank you that you renew our strength like that of the eagles. Thank you for your compassion towards us. Thank you for your promises that outlive us. Thank you that even when we are having a bad day, you are not. Thank you that even when things are not going well for us, you are there with us and for us. Thank you that you are faithful even when we are faithless, because that's who you are. Expand our perspective. Show us who you are, O God, and lead us into what you're calling us to. Draw us to yourself. Help our souls to really bless you. To call up and remember all that you do for us and never forget. Thank you that you hear us and that you'll do much more than we can think or ask or imagine. Lord, we bless you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.